Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our New Testament reading comes from the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read chapter 2, verses 13 down to 22. Listen for God's word for each of us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. I was thinking about last 4th of July. I went to the early morning baseball game at Nats Park, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a great day, the hottest day of the year down there, by the way, between the Nationals and the Boston Red Sox. And I usually take the Metro down, and I'm fortunate to kind of be able to get on the green line right where it starts. So where it begins, I get on, I have the whole car to myself. You know, it's great. But the car gradually fills up, and until we get to L'Enfant Plaza. Then a horde of Nats fans and others jam on for the final two stops. Almost all at that time of day for that game, almost all of them had Nats jerseys and hats, but there were some Red Sox jerseys as well. So with no place to sit, train rolled on. Everybody immediately grabs for a pole. You know how that scene is. So I decided to get up and stand by the door for easier exit once we get there. And I noticed something in that packed metro car on that day. As I held on to the pole, there were three other hands. One was the hand of a Red Sox fan who looked to be maybe of Asian background. One was the hand of a young Latina woman. She was hanging on to the lower part of that pole. One was the hand of an African-American man. So there were four hands. It was a white hand. It was a black hand. There was a Latina hand. There was an Asian hand. There were male hands, a female hand, younger and older hands, Nats and Red Sox hands. But we all had something in common that day. We were all on the same, riding the same metro, of course, and probably all baseball fans, but we were all looking for something to hold on to, all looking for something to keep us from losing our balance. So we grabbed onto that pole, gave everyone something to hang on to. What an image that gives us of a communion Sunday on this fifth Sunday of the Easter season, the season of resurrection. We often talk about our journey of faith, don't we? That's a common metaphor. It's our train ride of life, and every now and then the train lurches a little to the left or swerves or grinds to a halt in some cases. We want to reach out for something to hang on to. It seems like there's been a lot to jolt us so far in 2026. I don't need to name it, for it can be different for each one of us dealing with whatever chaos and uncertainty and processing it in our own context. Could be the uncertainty of gas prices or a job loss, or maybe it's something individual, an illness or a health concern or a big life decision that's been put on hold by circumstances. So many different things. But one of the beautiful lessons of Scripture, and here we see it in Ephesians, is that there is something to hang on to for peace, for stability, or maybe better said, someone to hang on to, the one we worship together in Jesus Christ. In our Reform tradition, we like to talk about two symbols of faith, our two sacraments, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of communion, something that we reach out to hold on to, like an imaginary pole attached to both of them. As we do that, we affirm some great truths about following Jesus into the world, especially with respect to the communion table this morning. There's two spiritual truths that I would lift up. First of all, we realize once again, we are part of a unity, a fellowship that's incredibly diverse. We realize once again that even though we are around one table, we are not all the same. We're part of a worldwide fellowship where we look different, we act different, we are different. But the one thing we have in common is Jesus Christ. It seems like in the Gospels, the thing that would confound the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and others, about Jesus, is that he included so many people in his travels. He included people identified as sinners. He associated with a class of people who were not well-liked in his day, namely the tax collectors. He seemed to favor the poor, the marginalized, including women. people from other cultures, such as Samaritans, outcasts, immigrants. Some of the Pharisees seem to want Jesus to help them divide people between male and female and Jews and Gentiles and young and old, religious and non-religious, to separate people, to build walls. But he never seemed to satisfy their need for that. Sometimes that caused a great deal of anger and criticism towards Jesus and his ministry. But rather, he opened his arms to children, to the very old, to men, to women, something which was not always accepted in that day. So we come to realize once again as we reach out to this communion table that we are truly part of a larger fellowship with people who on first glance may not seem to have a lot in common with us. What we do have in common is Jesus as well as our common humanity. So diversity is not only a spiritual truth, but some have had the insight that the idea of diversity with a common bond actually leads to strength. Maybe an organization or a church group or in your neighborhood. If we read in Ephesians that Jesus has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us, they call it, then should that not be a guiding principle in our common life together with our neighbors? I wonder if you happen to see the speech by King Charles this week to the Congress on Tuesday. He was, of course, the visiting, British monarch. Also, by the way, he's called the Supreme Governor of the Church of England. It's kind of a ceremonial title, recognizes that only Jesus Christ is head of the church. But still, it's kind of a spiritual title. But here's a quote from what he shared with the Congress about how our founding fathers, 250 years ago, declared independence. He said this, quote, "By balancing contending forces and drawing strength in diversity, they united 13 disparate colonies to forge a nation on the revolutionary idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Drawing strength in diversity. Diversity always seems to be a challenge for societies, for cultures everywhere. But yet, it is a value that followers of Jesus Christ hold. Why? Because of this table of grace. That is the reason why diversity is a value that we hold. So in Ephesians, the Pauline writer powerfully says, Christ has broken down the dividing wall between us, which he says is the hostility between us. Christ is unifying even among those who are in some sort of conflict towards each other. Instead of building walls, we're called to build bridges. One of my favorite quotes is from Chef Jose Andreas of the World Central Kitchen. If you know those guys, that group, they seem to be everywhere. They're feeding people displaced by wars, by natural disasters. But his quote is very simple. He says, we must build longer tables and not higher walls. And then he continues, he says, we need to talk to each other to enjoy our differences, to celebrate our diversity, not push people away because they look or sound different. This is a radical idea because we read of a new humanity in Christ, reconciling different groups with Jesus, again, quote, thus putting to death that hostility. How we wish we could put to death that hostility that divides groups and nations and even some families? Could we share not only this table, but what it powerfully represents for us? So as we come to this table this morning and we latch onto it, we hold on to something much bigger than ourselves, something worldwide, something diverse. Well, the second truth that we would like to affirm is that this table, this communion, is a preview of the kingdom of heaven. That verse from Ephesians makes, again, this astounding claim: we are no longer strangers or aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints. It was a Scottish theologian named Dr. James Stewart of Edinburgh, Scotland, and he put this idea in such a beautiful frame. Listen to what he says. Dr. Stewart tells us that the host of this table is Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus invites us to this table, Dr. Stewart says, he extends his left hand to us in this church, to churches all across the community, and even all across the world. He reaches out to the living in this image with his left hand. And then Dr. Stewart says beautifully, the loving Christ reaches out with his right hand to all those who have gone before, who belong to the kingdom of heaven, all those we have loved and lost, family members, parents, friends, saints from this congregation. We are reunited through Christ with all of those around the world and all of those we have loved and lost in this moment. That in itself, he says, is a preview of the kingdom of heaven. So this morning, please come to this table. Be reunited with followers of Christ in all of their diversity around the world and all of those in the kingdom. For God promises us celebration, and God hopes that you will be a guest at this banquet. May it be so for all of us. Thanks be to God.